Sunday morning,
March
9th?
18th.
That was close.
Seems like the month has already gone from this.
Yeah.
You had the right week.
Who's going to pray?
Somebody's elected better than who?
Yes, Lord, by your Spirit.
Yes.
We ask for you to be with us tonight. Lord, your word says that we are to, that we have the mind of Christ. That sounds like something we would aspire to. But Lord, it has been the experience that we have when we get together. And we thank you for that. No, we thank you that we have your mind when we get together. Lord, that we would always have your mind, that those words would be the thing that describes us, not something that we have aspirations for. But Lord, that you would do that good work, and do that good work today, Lord, that we would have your truths, O Lord, your light, O Lord, your very nature here with us today. We would be manifestations of what you are by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I guess my question would be, why do we have, or why can we have, the mind of Christ? I think the answer is pretty obvious. And it's not that everybody that goes to a church someplace has the mind of Christ. But Christ actually only had one mindset. He says, I only speak that which the Father tells me to speak. And the Bible says that the Word was made flesh. And so, if Christ only spoke the Word of God, then how does he get away with saying, if you continue in my word? That's what he says. Well, how could he call it his word? I think it's pretty obvious.
His word is God.
Yeah, the only word he had was the Father's word. And the thing that separates the real church from the imitation is that those that have God's word in them, or at least want it to be in them. And so he was the expressed image of the invisible God. Being the expressed image tells us that the image of God, I don't know if it's always to be that way, but it can be expression. I've always wondered, you know, what relationship do I have with God that I can be in his image? I mean, he's a spirit being, and I have flesh. I know he made me, but how can I be in his image? And I'm coming to the conclusion that the only way that I can is... as it says in Hebrews 8 and in Hebrews 10, it says the new covenant that God is going to make after the first covenant is over, which was the law. And I'm going to write my word and my law in people's hearts, or in their minds and on their hearts, or both ways. I think it says it right that way in one case and changes in the other. I'm not sure, but either way, it's going to end up on the mind, or in the mind, or on the mind, or in the heart, or on the heart. One way or another. So, if we have the mind of Christ, it would mean that we are coming to have the Word of God formed in us. Last Sunday, there was a scripture setting that was on my mind, and I couldn't think of it. And I don't know if anybody remembers that or not. Well, by Tuesday night, when we had our get-together, I had to remember where it was. There were two scriptures. And one of them is in Psalm 19:7, where it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And the other verse, which goes in my mind, goes with it, and I'm sure it does, is Matthew 18:3, that says, except we become converted and become as little children, we can in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so I began to see those linked together. It's like the only thing that converts us is the Word of God. The only way that we can get converted is God's Word. We can't get it through the philosophies of men. That's not conversion. You know, we have disciples of an organization or a mindset of some person that may or may not be anywhere near the truth. And so we are coming to some real major things as a church, as a people. And I got some things that I want to get to here, but anyway, this morning, in Psalms 19, in verse 13, it makes a statement, and it says, I know it says protect, I'm not sure how it says it, let's see, I'm right there, so let me read it. Oh, it says, keep thy servant from presumptuous sins. And I had to call Shelly up at the house. She was dropped us off. And I say, could you look up presumptuous? I know what assumptuous means, but what does presumptuous mean? And being more up on what you read, could you tell us what presumptuous means?
It means to boldly go beyond the expected limitations. So, driving through a stop sign, you're being presumptuous. There's limitations, but you're just boldly going beyond it.
And so, it's knowing what to do and not doing it, or knowing what not to do and doing it.
Yeah.
And of course, I've never done either one of those.
Mine says willful sins.
But that's the same
willful
thing.
Sin.
Yeah, willful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think I may have even used that word, but I don't think I knew what it meant when I used it. Presumptuous. But, so preserve me from that. Yeah. Lord, protect me from that.
And maybe assuming that you know better. And that's not the definition in there, but just, you know, listening to this, assuming that we can do what we want, or assuming
right.
maybe that we know better than God.
That we know better than God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Or we just want to do
it. Yeah. Simple. Yeah.
Without consequences.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, those are the two verses. And the revelation was that in order to be actually converted, it requires God's Word. But it does not require it. I almost slipped there and used a name, and I don't want to do that. These guys are helping me to not do it. But the Word of God does not need help.
Amen.
And that's a mistake we've always made. Well, let's see. People can, you know, I mean, we read scriptures like the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip. And Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? He said, well, how can I understand except somebody guide me? And I've heard people use that as a, you know, well, everybody needs a teacher. And the thing is, you don't need a teacher that's a wacko. You know what I mean? You need somebody that really actually knows what he's talking about. And so, as you listen to the scriptures, we become, we are becoming prophets. And a prophet is somebody that uses the Word of God accurately. That's what the definition of a prophet is. And so, we are becoming better and better, I think, as a group, because, you know, we're listening to the scriptures, and then we're expressing what we get out of the scriptures. You know what? We're not going to get it perfect right away. But eventually, we're going to have a pretty good handle on the Word of God if that's all we go by. It will, because God will make sure that it does.
Glory to God.
I believe that's true.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody the other day, I can't remember who, but in this age, you know, we have the Wonder Bible, and we have a strange emphasis upon the Word of God that is, it's within churches, but a lot of churches don't even realize what's going on, and how this Wonder Bible is in all the stores. Who's behind that?
Walmart.
Okay. Walmart. I talked to people in Walmart, and most of the people I talked to didn't even know they carried it.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, I can be bold enough to say this: it was in a certain aisle, and here's a girl who was working behind the counter, and on the other side of the aisle, there's all kinds of Wonder Bibles. Mm-hmm. And I asked her, I said, do you have any Wonder Bibles? I mean, I knew that they were there. I saw them. But I wanted to see what her response was. She said, I don't think so. I've never heard of it. Mm-hmm. It stood right within, she could look at it. But I understand something, and I don't know how many people do, but God is promoting His Word in this hour like nothing we've ever seen. At what point in history have we ever been able to do what I can do over there with the scriptures?
Yeah.
Day and night. And, you know, that scripture in Psalms 1. You know that I was just reading up to about chapter 33 or 34 of Psalms. Every one of those was written by David except the first two. Psalms 1 and 2, it has no, in my Bible at least, it doesn't tell us who wrote it. But Psalms 1 says, you know, blessed is the man. And of course, that's kind of neuter gender. It's either man or woman. Blessed is the person whose delight is in the Word of God, the law of the Lord, which is the same thing. Blessed is the one whose delight. Whose delight? Whose delight? His delight. I don't mean one of his delights. That's kind of been the case, hasn't it? Well, I really like the Word of God, but I also like the cross of switchblade. Wait a minute. The cross of the switchblade has its place, but the Bible is God's Word. There's a lot of difference between those two. And blessed is the man whose delight is in the Word of God. And on this Word does he meditate every so often.
Day and night.
Day and night. Meditate. 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 His heart is in that Word day and night. You know what? When I first started listening to the Scriptures, I didn't have that understanding. But eventually, the Word of God convinced me that that's the greatest music that my soul and my spirit can hear. And I began to love it. And as I did, I could feel something happen inside me until I began to get anxious for the next life. The Bible says eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it hasn't entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. You know, God has prepared for those that love Him. And so, anyway.
Are you too warm then? Do you need
no.
to move up? Okay,
you need a cushion.
No,
seat.
No.
Oh, okay, I'm just like.
No, am I too warm? No, I'm 83.
Are you too cold?
That would be.
Understand.
Did that answer your question? No, that just feels good.
Well, I have a testimony, praise the Lord. I had my surgery, and I'm doing very well.
Praise God.
Thank you for your prayers. But when I was laying there and they were prepping me for surgery, the nurse came in and she started asking questions and started coughing. And she couldn't stop. Yeah. And a fear slightly came upon me, and I rebuked it. I thought, no, I'm not going to be afraid. And then the Lord put it on my heart to pray for her. So I just had a quick little prayer laying in bed with all these tubes and stuff. And I said, Lord, just touch that cough. Take that away so she can do her job and so on and so forth. And I prayed out loud. And she was quiet. And then she left and she made her excuses. I got to get something to drink. My throat's dry and so on and so forth. She came back and waited a while. And I said, you're not coughing no more. She said, yeah, the mask helps keep the moisture in, making excuses and stuff.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, well, Lord, you know. Mm. You know what it is. You know what you did. I know what you did. And a little bit later, she came in and she said, I said, you're not coughing. She said, yes. And then she said, thank you for praying. So at first she wasn't sure how to take it, but then she had to recognize that it was the Lord, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then when, of course, they're wheeling me into the operating room, I go by the desk and she's sitting there and I went like this. She said, so I just had to give the Lord
yes
for that. I did have a fear and I rebuked it. And I thought, hey, if she's got that, it's whatever, you know. But the surgery went real well, and I'm really glad that I did. The back pain is gone. I can walk now. So it was time. I just didn't want more surgeries.
She even came up the basement stairs while using handrails.
I remember when I've done that.
She could do it.
I don't remember the last time I could do that. I can't. Now I think back and I think of the pain I had, and why did I wait? You know.
Yeah. But
it was.
I have a testimony. On Tuesday, when we got together, we prayed at the end, and I mentioned that I had too much work, and way too much work, like on top of each other, and I just had it, and I told everybody I was going to do it. I didn't know how. I'm foolishly do that. In a way, it's like I protect myself in case something falls through, just to stay busy or whatever, but nothing ever falls through. So I pray to the Lord, I got to do way too much work. And my helper is getting too old. No. Anyways, I mean, in parentheses, I really enjoy how we can help. I mean, we just have such a good time. Anyways, someone I miss that, you know what I mean? But anyways, I pray I got way too much work, and I can't handle it. And then, so this is odd because so I have all this work and I like committed work, you know, and staying in touch with the customers, whatever. And long story short, two jobs fell through, just immediately the next day. My first react, and I totally ignored the fact that I prayed that I had too much work. But in my mind, God makes me a superhero and I can do all this work. You know what I mean? Not that he takes the work out. But then I realized later it was an answer to prayer because I still have I will be busy, Lord willing, for a while yet without that work. And one of the customers is just a difficult one for sure. So I'm now very thankful that I lost those two jobs. But it's odd for me to have work taken away as a answer to prayer, but it was very much so an answer to prayer. And
okay.
It releases so much stress and so much everything else. But again, see, here I'm praying, like, hey, God, let's do this, work, 20 hours a day and super fast or whatever. But God, no. First of all, you don't need that much money. You know what I mean? Second, why? You know what I mean? So he just takes the work out and it's that's great. That's a great answer to prayer. But it took me a couple of days to figure out that was an answer. It
was great. Better late than never.
Yes, I'm very thankful for that.
I've had that experience, and it's pretty ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
To pray for something and then have the prayer answered and think, hey, good for me, or whatever. Yeah.
Well, I came across a scripture setting, and I just want to, I'm not sure about one, how it applies necessarily. And it's in Luke 10. It has a little to do with the other thing we were talking about on Tuesday. Luke 10:17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Was that just for them in that day setting?
No.
It's like, but here's the thing. I give you the authority. So here's a question in my mind is, okay, I have authority. No, is it when he gives me the authority to go against the spirit?
Oh.
You see that little difference there?
I'm not quite catching it. Go ahead. Explain.
Well, I mean, you can assume that because it says I give you the authority, in which he's talking to them right at this moment, at that moment, he gave them the authority. So do we have to know when he gives us that authority?
I see.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm not trying to push it one way or another.
It's not necessarily a permanent condition.
But the one thing I am sure about is...
The next scripture?
That we have all those... that if he gives it, we should not be hesitating or second-guessing. We should have the faith to believe that we do have power over all the enemy.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean...
He'll give you the power when you need it.
Yeah, that's what I'm not sure. You know,
I wonder...
Because he sent them out first, and then they came back. And when he sent them out, I think he... Let's see, did he say... Send out his lambs among wolves. Heal the sick. Oh, whatever sin you receive, eats it. And heal the sick there and say to them, okay, the kingdom has come near you. Yeah, see, he never, in the beginning, he never said, go cast out demons and heal the sick. He said you'll go and heal the sick. But when they came back, they realized they had been able to do that, and he confirms it.
I believe the authority has been given to us. So Jesus says, if you... Continue in my word, you will be my disciples. And you shall know the truth, is just truth will make a difference. So if he gave him to his disciples, and we are his disciples, so whatever he says to them, he says to us. Now I think that the hinge is that sometimes we don't have that faith to believe. And so we can't practice because we lack faith. You know what I mean? However,
I get that, that it could be the faith that we don't have, but I also wonder about, or maybe this was what Ken was getting at, just going, being presumptuous, because God, without God, I don't know. that's funny stuff with Christianity. You know, trying to do the right thing, yet not do the wrong thing, yet not.
Because, and I would say it probably has the most to do with our faith. Because if he gave you the authority, then you should be able to speak with authority, and it should have a result. You know?
Maybe we just need to step out.
And yes, maybe you have to speak it for a half hour. Who knows? That's not the point. The point is you got to go in believing you have the authority.
In verse 5,
have the faith that you have the authority.
In verse 5, it says, when you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. So maybe that has something to do with that too, you know.
Mm-hmm. And in Mark, you know, he gives the thing in Mark about you will take the, you know, no deadly thing will affect you. You'll take up serpents, you'll heal the sick. Doesn't say in there you'll actually, you know, cast out demons, but it's referring, you have authority to do all those things, because that's always part of one. Some places it's listed, others it's not, so obviously. But when it said I give you the authority. So obviously I can't go do it if I don't have the authority, you know. When do I have the authority? And it's like, well, we should have it the whole time, because we are disciples, you know.
A little funny for him to say that right after they came back from doing all this stuff.
Yeah, right.
That's an odd time to do it. You think maybe ahead of time would have been a better idea. And that kind of suggests to me that it is a permanent grant of authority.
Yeah, he's kind of reaffirming, isn't he? What they did.
It's not
letting them know
preparation
how
for an upcoming
about.
Task. It's, yeah,
right.
And certainly when we were operating in deliverance, hey, it was there, you know, it was there, it was just there.
I think
sometimes you can pray in tongues, sometimes you can. No, that's not the way it goes, you can pray in tongues, it's there. Although I think Barb's point is a good one. Sometimes you just bump into a brick wall, too. Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to step out, because the results are not our responsibility.
Right.
Yeah. I was thinking when he came back, I mean, they came back and said, hey, look.
Yeah.
And he went, I give you the, he's saying, hey, that came from me.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's right.
If I gave you that authority, you didn't get to just go out there and do that. That's what I was thinking.
I was going to let them know, you know,
right,
their authority.
Right.
Rather than been given
remember,
to them.
Right. That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking.
That makes sense.
Because verse 20 says, however, do not rejoice that the Spirit submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh,
that's the part of that.
I give you this part, but don't dwell on that. Dwell on this.
Yeah. Right.
But step out in it.
Do you remember what you were going to say, Bonnie?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm hearing more and more wherever I go that now is the time to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do all that you want to do, but then stand.
And stand and know where it comes
and
from.
And, mm-hmm. And whatever that.
Go and do it, sure.
Having done all, and then stand.
And yeah. Well,
yeah.
Whatever it's right, speak out or.
Yeah, like Barb.
Do
it and. The lady's got a cough, pray for that cough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, or like Charlie, when we're at Pizza Plus. And all of a sudden, someone's touching my shoulder, and it's Debbie Anderson. I went to junior high school with her, and she lived right up the hill from where I grew up. Anyway, so I graduated from high school 50 years ago. So, hey, yeah, and her name is not Anderson anymore. But it was she was there, and she was talking. She even said that, and then she starts crying. She married, she had a baby out of wedlock in our senior year in high school, but she was always with the same man, and then they got married, and that is a big fan. They're still married after all this time. And he finally retired, and then he got this bad cancer diagnosis, and she just was like, and anyway, so I was talking to her and telling her, I'll do, you know, you need to get a hold of me, you want me to blah, blah, blah. And then I went over to talk to her husband, and I said, hey, Pat, do you remember me? And he goes, yeah, I'm the one that pointed you out to Debbie. I did. But then, when they were getting ready to leave, I don't know, Charlie goes, Pat, did I just hear that you just had a diagnosis? Is it okay to pray with you? And he said, sure. So, you know, Charlie, he just prays this thing right there in the middle of everybody's making music and eating and doing all this stuff. And I don't know how it affected Pat, but it really affected his wife. And she was right there by me, and we were just praying comfort for her and whatever. So yeah, you just gotta be ready to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be a long,
no,
glorious.
No. And you don't have to have him like jump on the goal. Oh, there's absolutely no cancer. We don't know. But just being willing
just
to step out.
It's like doing deliverance, it seemed like it's just a natural thing.
Yeah.
You don't even think twice.
Right.
It would kind of last for.
Oh, Charlie's kind of like that with everything.
That's
okay,
great.
Everybody loves Charlie too. You know that? All my weirdo hippie friends, all my brother, everybody loves Charlie.
So, what do your weirdo hippie friends say about you? So, you're the only not weirdo.
Well, he's not like me. And they love him. They know he's genuine and it's all there.
Yeah. And they love Gene also.
Well, they do. Did you see how many people were at that party? I just can't even believe that happened.
When you brought up Luke 19, I read that. And I assumed that he was talking to his disciples, but verse 17. It says the 70th returned. So it was 70 people he had given that authority to.
Right.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was just his disciples. Just
yeah.
That one verse.
All of them, man.
Yeah, you've got to put it together to get the whole picture, yeah. Not just one verse.
That was a bunch.
Yes, it was. That's why when I read that, 70. I was thinking maybe the 12 or 10 or, you know, but no. Yeah.
So he gave authority to all of them.
In Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spoke to them, and he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. All power is given to him. What do you mean, go ye therefore?
Because...
What's that have to do with anybody, somebody else? You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
That's a strange way to be worded, but that's in the end of Matthew, just before the famous Matthew 28:19 setting. And then in Mark 16:15, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and then he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And of course, the believing part is the key. But these signs will follow. They will follow. They will follow the true believers. And we've seen some of it, but the believing part is the essential part. God wants us to believe him.
So, here's a little trick part to that. So, is it that you believe you can go and it'll happen, or is it that you believe in him that it's?
Yes. It's going because you believe in him.
Because a lot of times I think we go thinking, well, okay,
I'm going in his name, so I have all, you know.
Right.
And you can get a little mixed up there. He's in charge, you know.
Little ego shows up.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't have to bless it, though, if it's of us.
And then it's going for it. You do that, and then the devil throws you outside naked.
Seven sons of Peter.
Yeah.
Well, there's more than one example of people not being successful at praying for people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting to me that we've pointed out this in Luke, and then later on he goes, oh, Lord, how come we can't do this?
Yeah.
He says, well, I've given you an authority, and you won't be heard. You might not be effective at it, though. You might not have the revelation of what you need to do for deliverance to take place, and so you kind of go, so, it's kind of a half promise. It's there.
Okay.
You're not going to be heard. Might not work.
And it says, you need to confirm with me always.
Yes,
right?
Always.
So
that's why I from there I went. I kept reading through Luke, and then I come to that in Luke 12. Now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say.
Mm-hmm.
For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say.
Yep.
That's it, you know? That's saying, because I know we're saying that if we get enough word into this, it'll, but you know what? You better always check with the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
What you're to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And same.
Could be different from what you were thinking 2 minutes ago.
Yep.
Because you could move from a faith realm to a presumptuous realm.
Right.
All them words this morning are fitting together.
Yeah, it really is.
His plan is not our plan necessarily.
Well, without a lack of understanding, presumptuous is the definition of faith. Because you assume.
Mm-hmm.
Why can I go forward? Because I have faith. Well, you're presuming this, right? Yes, I am.
You're presuming without facts, or the truth, or something.
Yeah.
You know,
presume incorrectly.
Right, which is the point. Without God directing it, you are.
That's because it's you and not him.
Exactly. Yeah. So, be careful what you say you have faith in.
I have faith only in my Lord.
From the outside, having faith and presuming look very much alike.
Exactly.
You know? Yes, they do.
And somewhat from the inside.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of evangelists that have a lot of faith because they're presuming they do.
Yeah.
You know, the scripture, you know, I'm giving you this authority. It's kind of in the same page. Kind of deal. I think, like when Peter walked on water, he said, Lord, he says, if it is you, command me to come to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember what Jesus said, anything, what he said, but.
Come.
So even in that same matter, it's like, I'll do if you tell me to, I will do it. If not, I can't walk on water. You know, so
yeah.
I'll
yeah.
instruction,
right.
Or I'll at least ask, should I?
But he walked on the water just as long as he kept his eyes on
exactly.
the Lord. The minute
exactly.
he took his eyes off the Lord,
he started
looking around. So, keep your eye on the Lord.
Right.
That's one of the hard parts about praying and deliverance, because you can come in strong and you can have the demons manifesting, but then all of a sudden, if it goes a while, if your faith starts getting a little weak, then that demon starts, he knows it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start having a problem, you know?
Yeah.
So you got to keep asking for the strength and the anointing to continue to beat it down, get it rid of it in that person.
You know, as much as we might want to catch that, you know, or a sickness or not get sick or whatever, it's that we have to check. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, look, even Jesus, you know, if it is your will, you know, not my will, but your will. You know, if it is your will, this is what we're asking.
Yeah. It's so many factors in all that, because even the person if they can say they're, yeah, I want to, but if they really kind of don't want to, then you're not going to probably get rid of it, you know? So, you know, both parties have to be at the right place, you know? And then if you just say, well, I need to pray for you because it's obvious you have a demon, well, the Lord may not back it up because he knows that person isn't in the place to receive a deliverance, maybe, which sounds ridiculous, but it says, you know, there's a place where the demon got cast out and then the person stuck at everything, but they didn't do something right because then it came back with seven greater. So,
right.
You know, I think some of that is, yeah, I'm clean, and then they don't continue with the Lord's.
Right.
It fills up with.
Yeah, and then it's filled back with something worse. So,
yeah.
Tricky business. It's a silly way to put it, but it's tricky business.
And serious.
Yeah, very.
One of the difficulties is that the kind of deliverance that we got into was not anything that I could see in the scriptures. We were in it, and we knew God was behind it, but in the scriptures, it's like about everybody you saw had a major, major problem. There was obvious problems that they were delivered from. But in our case, it's like we're sitting here, just a bunch of people, and next thing you know, somebody's manifesting. They weren't before. Well, what happened is that God let us in on something, and you know, most of you are young enough that you probably still will see a lot of it. I don't know how much I'll see, but we saw something that is. A problem within the churches that they don't even know they have. And we had some people left here and went to an Assembly of God church, and there were a number of people within that church that every so often manifested demon spirits. And so, again, I won't mention names, but some of our people that used to go here, they decided to cast them out. And they were immediately rebuked by the pastor and the pastor's wife and some of the church leaders. And they knew what they were doing. These were demons that were manifesting. And in a church that I went to years ago, I mean, this is long before deliverance, there was somebody that it was obvious they came from the outside of the church and came inside and they needed deliverance. But none of us, I mean, including me, we didn't know it. What's that? You know? They needed to be delivered from a spirit. And so the thing is, while we're talking about stuff like deliverance, there's another realm of deliverance it's all around us. And it's not the same as what we saw in the days of Jesus and the disciples. They were casting devils out that were obvious. Things that people had. They brought them to them, and they were people, I mean, people had strange things, and like the one that Jesus cast the demons out that was up in the tombs. You know, that was an obvious thing. And when he cast the spirits out, and they went into all of these the swine, that dumbfounded everybody. And it's like, I mean, one or two people, you know, one place it says one, another place it says two. But one person having enough demons in him to put a whole herd of swine into the water? Explain that. The night of deliverance started in this church. I didn't hear it because I would have prayed with Vicky till 4 o'clock in the morning, but people were telling me that the dogs in the whole area went nuts. Did anybody remember or was familiar with it? They were barking, just, I mean, people were alarmed at why their dogs were barking. You know, I think they were being affected by some of the spirits that were leaving. I don't know. I could tell you one story that I saw for sure. My sister, Gudina, that passed away, she lived above a tavern. Her husband had bought a tavern, and she lived above it. And we were talking to her about deliverance and stuff. And they had a German shepherd that was, I don't know, 150 pounds, the biggest thing I ever saw. And he disliked me, and especially since we were in deliverance. And one night, and Joanne, of course, she's not really, wasn't afraid of anything. And one night we got out of the car, and here comes this big German shepherd, and his hair standing right up, you know, made him look twice as big. And we rebuked him. We said, you know, in the name of Jesus, you leave, get out of here. And he goes, yip, 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 put his tail in the air, and away he went. And Wadena never saw him for 2 days. That's a true story. Explain that to me. What happened? But anyway, there's a deliverance realm that God led us into, and let Wood Worley and Derek Prince and Don Basham and some of these guys years ago, that it's not that it dies out, but the demons within the spirit in the churches, and there's a lot of pastors who actually are false shepherds. I'll say that boldly here, but who are disciples of the devil. You know, the Bible says that he has, how does it say it in 2nd?
Ministers of righteousness.
Who appear as ministers of righteousness. Well, they're not going to want their spirits cast out.
Hirelings.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so anyway, I said that to say that what we experience it was not what I was familiar with. It took me by, except I'm not even sure what I was familiar with. But when we got into it, it wasn't anything I would have ever expected. I wouldn't have expected, you know, here I'm thinking there's 100 and some of us, and we're going to be casting devils out of a lot of people in a lot of churches.
Knowing what you know today, isn't it exactly what you would expect?
I would expect it now, yes.
Knowing what you know now.
Now and knowing what I now know, yes.
Because you now know that you're not going to know.
Yeah.
You now know,
say that again.
You now know it's not for the wise to know.
Yes.
Yeah. So you have to be led by the Spirit. And then the other thing, there's a scripture, it's in Ephesians 6:17. It says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. So the Holy Spirit is going to use God's Word.
That's right.
As a sword. But anyway,
I mean, as long as we're on the subject, I'll throw in my 2 cents. You know, deliverance is kind of dormant now. I think we put it to bed. We put it to bed.
And unbelief in our parts.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Just didn't take the initiative or whatever. I think we can give that thing a shake and see about waking it up and get right back where we were before.
Is that our decision?
Well, whatever.
Pretty presumptuous in faith, aren't you?
Well, I guess that would be what the one who puts it to bed would say.
Sure. I think we'll wait on that one.
I still, when I see, you know, like some, I don't want to say names, but when I see
certain people
acting out in a way, and I know they're Christian, but they're not acting Christian, I'll pray and rebuke the demons. Not necessarily hands-on, but in my prayers, I will rebuke those demons for them. And you know what? It's worked. Because they come out of that, and then they become themselves again. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What you're doing, you're not necessarily delivering it from it.
No,
you're just settling that demon down.
I'm rebuking it for them so they can
keep
overcome.
Them, yeah.
So that's a form of deliverance, I think, too.
To Charlie's point, I think we'd all agree that sin hasn't subsided. The enemy hasn't stopped.
No.
And so the reasons for deliverance have not changed.
No, and I'm not free of demons either. Anybody else here?
And I don't, you know, I don't know if I put it all on this that why it went away. I mean, because after deliverance came the love of God. I mean, it's, you know, it's, so it's kind of hard.
But there is, it's not quite as simple as my announcement there.
Yeah.
But there's an hour. There is an hour for things. And
but I keep wondering, yeah, how did, why did it, why all of a sudden did we quit doing it? In a sense, I mean.
I think we got all the wrong.
I said, I think we quit because we didn't. If we do again, then hey, look at this.
And maybe God didn't like how it was going.
Yeah,
maybe.
I think we got off track a little bit, and we had to be reviewed.
I think we don't because we don't.
Like I was.
But if we did,
Colton feels really strongly about it.
I kind of do. Sure.
If we what?
The reason we don't do it is because we don't do it. If we were to do it, look at this. The demons are coming out. Lord, look at this.
And in that hour, I will give you authority.
When it's needed.
And the Lord said, I give you the authority.
Yeah.
Well, my understanding of what happened when I wasn't here is that the spirits were crying out before hands were laid, or was it, or no?
Somewhere, yeah.
Somewhere.
So it's like the ball starts rolling on its own, kind of, and then...
Yeah, the Lord made them manifest, or allowed them to be manifesting.
Before
so
anybody
could see it.
Before
yeah.
anybody was saying, hey, let's pray for...
But then we made appointments, too,
right.
for people to come and be prayed for deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like we took it into our own
well,
hands.
We didn't know that what... was available to us, and
right.
so we, you know, I now we do know.
Right. But even when Jesus was walking, spirits cried out for without
yeah.
nobody praying specifically.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't know that there's a level of smartness in, on a demon, but because we have we I don't like saying this, but we have more understanding than we used to.
Yeah.
You know, so then demons would be more subtle.
That's right.
You know, I mean, not start crying out. You know what I mean? Just because the object, really, of the devil is not make noise. He just wants to send people to hell.
Mm-hmm.
So he could just be, you know, a thought, a train of or a doctrine. You know what I mean? The demon has to be loud. It can be, it will be, it is, but... more dangerous it is when you don't see the demon and it's not as obvious. Because you could be sent, if you believe a lie, you all of a sudden believe a demon. You know, and where, so demons can be expressed differently. Yes, they can express, you know, through manifestation of anger and on sickness and, you know, epilepsy or bipolar, who knows.
Alcoholism.
Exactly. But that's, you know, but long story short, the demon wants to send you to hell.
Yeah, yes.
Right.
Yep, that's right.
I believe
that
in line with what I was saying. I think we got some help in putting that thing fit.
Right.
Sure.
I wasn't here then, but, you know, my recollection or understanding of what happened was that the members were fervently in prayer.
Yes.
Yeah,
people were fervently in prayer. Seeking God diligently day and night. And with that, what I always equated again, because I wasn't there, but that reminded me a little bit about the power of God on Christ as he walked by was so powerful that the demons in the area manifested because they couldn't not because of the fullness of God rolling in Christ.
Right.
And not that I'm saying anybody at any time was at that, but there was more a fullness of the power of God in the congregation, so that people cried out. demons manifested. Demons manifested.
Yeah. So we were just going to have 1 week of services every night. And then it didn't stop. Yeah. It kept going.
It probably was a year, was it?
Yeah.
Well, at least, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every night.
Day and night. People come over during the day if they had time. Lunch hours.
But as we've been, you know, in the Word, what's been settling in on me was as Christ walked by and people manifested, it was because the power of God being on Christ.
Well, and they knew, and so the demons knew who he was too.
They called him out and said, "I know who you are."
Yeah, they knew who he was.
And they
had a lot of fear when they found him.
There's no reason why God would do or not do what he did in the past in this church, because it's not because anybody did anything. The Spirit of God fell.
Yeah,
under his prayer. There's a scripture that says, and it's said different in different versions, but it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Other one would say, where the Spirit of the Lord there is
liberty.
Peace, or liberty. Liberty. So with liberty is the King James, right? So, where the Spirit of the Lord is. So, if the Spirit falls on just the Spirit by itself, it will give you the liberty of demons. You know what I mean? That you can't have a table with demons and spirit. So, first, the Spirit of the Lord falls. Where in this occasion, I'm not saying because you can still go pray, but the Spirit of the Lord had to be fallen and the Spirit had to be manifest.
See, the Spirit, I feel, fell and compelled people to pray.
Yeah,
because it says the Spirit leads us to pray. So, you know, it's God has us do that for a reason, you know, because he's in control. But it's got to be always by the Spirit, you know. So I think people, they felt compelled to be praying. They just could not, almost not be praying.
Well, people were having these experiences, and that before Kate called for the week of things.
Yeah. So it's kind of hard, you know. It can be intermingled. It can be one way, one another. But the fact is, it's always by the Spirit, you know. Mm-hmm. And God's in control, always.
I wanted to read Luke 10:23, if you brought up, because I think it's important. And Jesus, and then he turned unto his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see." You know, and I often tried to think too much and put it in perspective. But there was a lot that happened. God gave a lot of blessings to this group over the years. Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw things. I mean, and I believe, I believe without a whole lot of basis, there was a reason that people were slain in the Spirit, and there was a reason that dancing before the Lord, and there was a reason that demons cried out, and there was a reason that we felt the love of God, and there was a reason that we were persecuted and fell and pride was removed, and there was a reason that God spoke to you and said, "Find me where I am." There is a reason why people listen to the Word all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, blessed are those who have seen the things that ye see. He's not done with us.
That's good.
But these are all things. And a lot of these things, most of these things, are not physical things. These are spiritual elements.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. God is doing something. I just have to make sure I stop steadying the ark and trying to help him with what he's going to do.
Yes.
And let him do it.
Right. Yes.
I played a song this morning that kind of meant to me, it was for me, but in his time. Yeah. And whenever I think I've really got it under control, I play that song and remind me that I am not in control.
Yeah.
I do not get to decide when or how. He does. And until I give that up, kind of like dying to self, I hold back what God is going to do in my life.
That's good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to throw out one thing here at the end, because just in case, to rebuke the spirit of fear about what's going on with viruses and so forth, I'm going to use the mark setting. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, I feel viruses fit in the deadly poisons or whatever, depending. And so I stand on
that
set of scriptures. And I rebuke them things all the time, you know. I mean, in the name of the Lord, He rebukes them. I always say, Lord, you rebuke them. You know?
Yeah.
But, and so, we should probably, that's something in our prayer at the end maybe to bring up, because I'm sure some people have been affected by a little fear, you know, of that virus, the coronavirus. Says if we believe and have faith in our God, He will protect us.
You know, what's interesting about the scripture that you read first, Jesus says, I saw Satan fall from hell.
From heaven like lightning.
From heaven like
lightning. Right,
I know, that's an interesting concept.
Yeah. Just put a pin on it.
Don't dwell on that too much.
No.
About the coronavirus and stuff. You know, I've been observing the world just like you guys, just not looking. And there's a force on, and this is just my view. It could be the same politics. So some people have this force, and I have a force the other way. But the way there's violence, and in every direction, from every there's violence on getting their point across. Let's say abortion or not abortion, or this or not that, or you know, free this or not free this, or there's so many different subjects. There's all this force and there's violence and there's that doesn't make sense. It just does not make sense. No matter what direction it comes from, it does not make sense. And all of a sudden, as I watch all this, like in Chile, for example, they want bread, so they're burning hotels. I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever. And what I'm realizing that's happening, it was last days, of course. But you know, when Jesus said, when he was being brought to the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. It's like, I feel like it's exactly the same what's going on in the world right now. There's all these people wanting to do this. In those days, when they were putting Jesus down, they thought they were doing good. It was a and they didn't know that he was going to raise from the dead or any of that. But they people right now think they're doing something for good, and it's crazy. It's not good, with no reason. It's destroying and killing and fear. You know, planting fear, and all it is is. And people, they don't know why. They think they know why they do it. They don't. And it's the same. We are in the same time frame of when Jesus says, forgive them for they do not know what they're doing. I feel that the world is packed with people not knowing what they're doing. Not because they don't agree with me. That's not it. It just created, some of them don't agree with me, but the way they manifest is violence and nonsense and insult.
And anger. Hatred.
Yes, and hatred.
Yes, even the ones that agree with me, yeah. I can't agree with the way they're saying things.
Right.
It's just crazy.
I mean, it's well, God is behind all this. All this chaos, God is behind it. And, you know, for His purpose. Anyways, I just wanted to share.
Doesn't it say somewhere the violent will take them by force?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Will take the kingdom by
force. Yeah, it's not that violent, so.
No.
Right.
It's a different concept of violence.
Yeah.
The violent will take the kingdom by force. Not physical violence, though.
nobody.
Otherwise, you'd have to start joining armies. Get your gun out, boy. You know?
Army of the Lord, we all. Join the army of the Lord.
Yep, and it's spiritual warfare.
Have we reached our point?
Yep.
You got something, Keith?
Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. That's a good quote.
There we go. But you know what? I'm thinking along with that scripture. Okay, so they believe that he's the Son of God. Meaning what? The man Christ Jesus?
Yeah.
Or God the Son?
The man Christ Jesus, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yep. There's a lot of difference between the two theologies. And so, in order to believe according to the will of God and the scriptures, we have to see him as a man. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's taken me how many years before it begins to really develop in me? I saw. Of course he's a man. Mm-hmm. Of course he's a man. In one of the translations that I have, it says that he was born to be a man. In the translation, I thought, didn't we see that? Didn't you see that the other night, Charlie? In the New English or something?
Yes, I forget where it was though.
Yeah, it said that he was born to be a man.
Yeah.
And it just happened to be worded that way, but you know, he was not born to be a god. Mm-hmm. I mean, God could make him a god, but God didn't. He made him into a man on purpose, so that the mediator would associate. That we could associate with the mediator. So it says that it has not yet appeared what we're going to be like. But when he appears, we're going to be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And the thing is, we're not going to be like a god. We're going to be like a glorified man. And we're going to be like him. 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 And I hang on to that.
Amen.
That's what I want to be like.
Yes.
Amen.
And you know what? I'm not going to cause it to happen or create it. It takes God to do that.
There's some, I probably won't find it now, but there's a scripture that says we were foreordained, I believe it's with Christ or in Christ before the foundations of the world.
And we're going to be heirs and joint heirs with him.
Mm-hmm. But pre-existent us.
Yeah, we're going to have pre-existent Christ, we've got pre-existent us. I don't know if everybody understands that.
One thing that I wanted to add to what Charlie was saying earlier about putting this to bed and making a declaration, if I remember right, and I was, you know where I'm going.
I do. He declared war.
He
stood
war
in that pulpit and declared war against Satan.
Yeah. I
think are
I
you the so only one left from that?
I remember it.
You?
No, that's right.
You guys?
Yeah. I think I was in Seattle at the time. But maybe not.
I was led to do that.
Yes. Yeah, of course you were. You don't even know why you did it.
No, still the key.
But as I was listening to Charlie, my first thought was there was a declaration.
Yeah. Satan, we declare war on you.
I forgot all of these things. I'm so glad you guys brought them up. Forgot about all the praying.
Were you around then, Mike?
Yeah,
she was here,
so was
Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, she has.
Mm-hmm. And Charlotte, too.
Yes.
The old timers are getting to be less and less, aren't they?
Yeah, yes, we are.
Amen.
Who pulls on that?
There's a lot still.